Show Me the Science with Professor Luke O'Neill.
Hello, Luke O'Neill here, and welcome to Show Me the Science podcast. Now, I've had three requests this week, and I'm amazed. Must because people are either on holidays or they're tuning in or whatever. But three requests have come in, and of course, you can request items for me to cover. Just email me on laoneill2ls@tcd.ie is the best way to get me because it's science-based. And it's part of my job in Trinity to do these podcasts, kind of. But anyway, the one I'm going to do is Harry Southern. Now, Harry was on to me. He said he likes the podcasts, which is great to hear. And he then said that towards the end of them, he falls asleep. Now, Harry, that's not great, is he? You're falling asleep during my podcast. Well, I don't mind if it helps people sleep as well. That's great. And he said he still enjoys them anyway. And it got him thinking that would I cover hypnosis? Now, I'm not sure if Harry was saying I'm hypnotizing him with my voice. Maybe that's what he was implying. But certainly, I'm very happy to cover this. And Harry said, look, it's a really interesting topic. And what is it? And what's the science behind it? And I do know a bit about it. A friend of mine actually is a hypnotherapist. And I've had chats to him occasionally. And there is a basis for hypnosis being beneficial, as I will explain. But the science of hypnosis is what we're going to talk about. It really is a fascinating thing. Now, what is it? Well, it's a sort of a thing whereby a hypnotist or hypnotherapist, mainly with their voice, are getting you to focus on something, can get you into this hypnotic state. And it seems to be to do with brain waves changing. It also seems to be to do with concentration. So your brain somehow begins to concentrate more and focus on something. And that might, remember the famous thing of the watch swinging or whatever. And that focus and concentration allows you to ignore ordinary distractions that might be there. And those distractions could be noises in the room, but more importantly, distractions in your own brain. You see, it seems to uncouple your conscious mind from your unconscious mind. And now that sounds a bit vague, but I'll come back to that in a minute. But certainly it seems to be all to do with allowing you to focus. And then, of course, the hypnotherapist can say things, and because you're really focusing on what they're saying, that can influence you in various ways. And the interesting bit for me are the health benefits, and there is some evidence that hypnotherapy can work very importantly. And I've read stuff on this, especially for Harry, for example. The Cleveland Clinic has a good website on this, so there's a legitimacy behind this. It isn't just trickery, shall we say. And it goes back a long way, by the way. Ancients could hypnotize people, as we now use the word hypnotize. A German guy who I'd heard of called Franz Mesmer, he was a German doctor who could do this. It was called mesmerism for a while, and he was able to show there are various benefits for getting people into this certain mental state. How it works is not completely understood, it must be said. Well, as I say, the consensus is it's a deep state of focus, and secondly, relaxation. And of course, that's a big benefit. It allows people to relax. And when you're in this kind of hyper relaxed state, that sounds like a contradiction in terms, but you're highly relaxed, again, your mind is now a bit more open to things and a bit more open to listening to what the hypnotherapist or hypnotist might be saying. Gentle guidance from the hypnotherapist can help you modify or replace these unconscious thoughts that are sort of affecting you in various ways. And Freud himself actually got into hypnosis and thought that might be interesting, but then he changed to counselling instead. So there's been a tradition of this business of sort of mastering, I guess, your mind in a way for beneficial effects. Now, one big theory is hypnotic suggestion is actually just bringing out the placebo effect. As we know, the placebo effect is a real thing. It's been proven to work in various ways. What's going on? We still don't understand the placebo effect, but hypnosis might be tied into boosting a placebo effect. So, for example, it's been used to help people give up smoking. And if you're relaxing and you're focusing and your hypnotherapist is suggesting things that you might stop smoking, then you might actually stop smoking. And it's a sort of placebo being triggered there to allow you to stop smoking. I think the really good science that's going on in the area is brain imaging. And you'd love to see brain changes during the protocol, I guess, as you might call it. And sure enough, there are brain regions changing. And one really good one is people switch. Your brain is very good at switching between tasks, and you can see the brain changing as you do different tasks. That quiets down. So therefore, instead of your brain being a bit scattergun, switching between tasks will reveal different parts of the brain being activated. That quietens down if someone is undergoing hypnotherapy. And these regions that are involved in multitasking, you might say, are also responsible for self-reflection. So in other words, you won't ruminate as much. And we're always ruminating. And we as a species, we over-ruminate. And it's a bad thing. In fact, over rumination is a sign of depression, for instance. So the hypnotherapist is able to stop you over ruminating. And again, that's to do with this focus idea. And then it also calms down brain regions that help control things like heart rate, blood flow and breathing. These are called autonomic functions. And they can measure these things now using imaging. The autonomic aspects of the brain begin to calm down a bit. And again, that's why you're beginning to focus on these things. So there are real brain changes happening during hypnotherapy that seem to be tied into this thing of focusing. It's still a bit flaky. Maybe that's too negative a word, but it's still slightly vague, some of this, it must be said. And, you know, we'd like to see more scientific basis for what's happening in the brain when you're being hypnotized. Now, is there any evidence of it working? Well, more than 30 clinical trials have been done that are seen as reputable, and they do show benefits. And, for example, anxiety. And it seems to work really well, well, not really well, but there's evidence of benefits with anxiety and PTSD. Less need for pain medications during surgery. In fact, it's being used a bit before surgery. And studies have shown that if you put someone into this hypnotherapeutic state, they'll need less painkillers during surgery. And after surgery, the pain is less intense as well. So it does seem to be beneficial in terms of relieving pain. It's also been shown in these studies to be useful for nausea, which can happen in different situations. For example, on chemo, that can cause nausea. Again, hypnotherapy might help with that. Fatigue, again, it seems to be beneficial in terms of treating people who are chronically fatigued as well. And these studies do seem to suggest a beneficial effect. There are criticisms, of course, of these studies because you can't do a double-blind placebo-controlled trial. Now, this is the gold standard, remember, to prove that some medicine is working, because you can't have one group unhypnotized and one who are, because you know who's been hypnotized, don't you? You know, and you can't tell which is the control group. So it's tricky to do a real double-blind control trial with this sort of thing. But still, people feel there's something in these studies that do show beneficial effects. And as I say, where there seems to be the most benefits, anxiety, PTSD, it's also been shown to be beneficial for certain phobias. So if someone has a phobia about something, the hypnotherapists can be beneficial there as well. Giving up smoking, as I mentioned, to some extent, that can be useful there. And probably insomnia. People can sleep better if they undergo a protocol. And remember, there are registered hypnotherapists out there who've been trained. So it's very important if anybody considering this goes to the right kind of person to help them. But as I say, there's still some skepticism, as there often is with these kinds of things. Now, it's worth touching on some of the myths that are out there as well. When I, you know, first came across it, many of us would be like this. We thought it was to do with entertainment, didn't we? It'd be a hypnotist on the stage at a show, and they would get people to do things and so on. And there is, you know, that can be sort of be part of this, I suppose. It can be a stage act. They've been criticised though, because often it's trickery, or there's something going on there. But there is some evidence of people on stage with hypnotherapists, of course, having effects and doing certain things, and that can be entertaining. But it's not, the serious end is hypnotherapy rather than hypnosis, remember. Second myth is that you lose consciousness, or maybe your memory gets wiped. That's not true. People aren't actually losing consciousness, and people remember the whole thing usually in terms of what they've been going through. So that's a very important thing. The other myth is the hypnotherapist can somehow control you and make you do things you don't want to do. That's not true either. You won't reveal any secret information, for instance, if you've been hypnotized. You don't lose control over your behavior. You're fully, I wouldn't say fully conscious, but certainly you're aware of what's going on. And really it's about, as I say, getting the brain to focus and making it easier to experience suggestions and maybe change your behavior in a certain way. And that's the important part of this. So it's not as if you're people who undergo it are being made to do things they don't want to do. And people who've been hypnotized, they describe it in different ways. They've done lots of questionnaires on this. You feel zoned in is a phrase that's been used, I noticed, which means you're really focusing, but you're in a kind of a trance-like state. And you're so focused, you can block out distractions that are around you. Everybody says that. It's a bit like if you're watching your favorite TV show and you don't hear the door knock or whatever it might be, or the phone ring, because you're so focused. It's a bit like that, I suppose. It's just, it's intense focus is a big part of it. That seems to, and people who've been hypnotized report that intense focus. You know, and I guess the parallel with things like watching TV are obvious to us. And many people say they feel much calmer, and that may be to do with the calming down of the brain and relaxed despite this increased concentration, because you are really focusing on something, but it's not as if it's a stressful thing. And many describe it as a pleasant experience. There's positivity about this. Another thing that I came across is the notion that some people cannot be hypnotized. And this is kind of true. They think some people resist it. And that because they might be frightened or have concerns about it, and they don't let their brains go into this hyper-focused state, and that seems to be the case. I think on the entertainment side, apparently, hypnotists can spot the people who are more susceptible and then get them into it rather than others. And it's a good question, isn't it, if you're susceptible to this sort of process. And that's another aspect. And then a couple of interesting, sort of more funny-ish things I came across. There's been all kinds of conspiracy theories that we're all being hypnotized. And stuff is on the radio, and oh God, we think I'm going to do a certain thing, take a vaccine if I dare myself. That's not true. But, you know, there's a risk of us being hypnotized. That's not true. You can't get mass hypnotism happening. That's a load of nonsense. One big one was in the 80s, and I remember this, in America, there were accusations of mass satanic brainwashing going on of the population. And guess what the main method was? Heavy metal. There were people saying, you play a heavy metal record and there's messages coming out of the record or whatever. This is in the 70s and 80s when there were records that then put people into this hypnotized state and they're becoming brainwashed such that they're lured into the worship of the devil. That was the thing that was suggested. Not true either, by the way. So these notions of mass hypnotism or changing society's behavior through this is just not true. At least at the moment, it's not true anyway. It seems very unlikely. It's got to be a personal thing with you and the hypnotherapist and the room and the voice. Now, maybe at this stage, my listeners are falling asleep as my voice is so hypnotic. Harry, are you still awake? But it's along those lines. It's this relationship with the hypnotherapist that seems to try. And trust is a big part of it. If you trust the person, then you're more likely to go into this thing. It's not as if you're in your kitchen one day and someone goes, my voice is heard on the radio and it hypnotizes you. That's not the case. And then one last thing that I thought was really good. You can hypnotize yourself. And there are studies showing that. Self-hypnosis. Now, this has been known, of course, as deep breathing. It's using imagery, progressive muscle relaxation. All of that can help your brain go into this focused state. Now, that's a really useful thing, I think. Because as I mentioned, you know, maybe this is what meditation does. And certainly that controlled breathing aspect that we all know about. And we know it's beneficial to us, don't we? If you control your breathing, it's putting your brain into this state that's a bit like being hypnotized. And I think, again, it's about focus and it's stopping the self-rumination. Now, remember, as I said already, one big benefit of hypnosis is you stop self-ruminating and overthinking things. And that's a really beneficial thing because, as I said earlier, that's a risk factor for depression and all kinds of things. So try this yourself. And I occasionally do this breathing thing where I breathe in for 3 seconds, hold for 7, and exhale for 7. It's called the 3-7-7 rule. And I do that sometimes to relax, and it really seems to work, you know. And I didn't realize until I did my research for Harry that I'm hypnotizing myself when I do that. And of course, the other thing that's been well known is if you progressively relax your muscles and tense them and relax them from your feet up to your head, that can provoke this semi-hypnotic state, which is very beneficial. So you don't need to go to a hypnotherapist necessarily. Self-hypnosis is indeed possible. So there you have it, Harry. I hope you stayed awake for all of that. The science of hypnosis, a very interesting area. I think more research is needed. We'd love to see a stronger scientific basis for it must be said, but there is evidence of beneficial effects of hypnosis. And thanks as ever for listening. And my podcast is a News Talk production and is available for download every Thursday wherever you get your podcasts. And Owen is back producing again. He left me for a while there, so thanks to Owen as ever, and thanks for listening.